Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians, the second chapter. So then, brothers, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Julian the Apostate left the faith as a emperor of the Roman Empire after Constantine had legalized Christianity and then made Christianity the religion of the empire. And Julian did it because he was a fan of a certain necromancer, a guy who was a magician, a spiritist. And it's said that he so impressed Julian because he went into one of the great temples of the ancient world and he spoke and coaxed and entertained the statue of the deity there in the front and got the statue laughing and rolling and jiggling and dancing. Now that was something worth believing in. That was results, I suppose, Julian thought. Well, that was the world Paul wrote to in Ephesus. I was one time in South India visiting Trivandrum in a Hindu temple, and it really struck me, wow, this is so similar to what the ancient world of Paul and the apostles must have been around the Mediterranean world. Entry-level things where a small child could drop a few petals of a flower or roll a few pennies, all the way up to sort of levels after level of access to God, one more ethereal than the last. Then depictions of the most horrid and indescribable, believe me, sexual scenes long ago, ancient, 1,000 years ago, carved in the walls of the temple. My son, Matthew, studied at Mequon and got a marvelous education. Marky studied classics at Hillsdale. And he came home one semester and I said, what are you working on, Marky? And he said, well, I'm working on votive offerings and inscriptions among the ancient Greeks and Romans, or people would write little notes along with their sacrifices, bury them with the dead or give them to the gods. I said, so what are you finding? Well, Dad, it's pretty much all about sex. This ancient view of God was that the gods was that you had to do something, you could do something to manipulate their behavior to benefit you. There was nothing like faith in the sense of trust in the person of Christ. It was about simple manipulation, getting the gods to wiggle. In Acts 24, we read, after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. As he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I will summon you. At the same time, he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcus Festus. And desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. That was around 59. Paul in prison for 2 years. He wrote the Ephesians at this time. He had already visited them. He had gotten into trouble, Ephesus, you remember, with the silversmiths. Acts Gospel says the whole of Asia was believing in Christ. Sometimes I think when we read the accounts of the New Testament, we assume it's just this tiny little group, and it was at the beginning. But this thing exploded upon the world, and it caused great difficulties for the pagans. They had the temple of Artemis of the Ephesians in their city. It had already been called in the 5th century of BC one of the seven wonders of the world. It was an enormous Greek temple. And Artemis was a god of fertility, Diana in the Roman pantheon, and many other blessings and benefits allegedly. And as we know from the excavations in Pompeii, the Romans had little votive kind of statues in their homes and shrines. And the text of the apostles says the silversmiths got ticked off at Paul because people weren't buying the shrines anymore. The good luck charms. And so they colluded with the Jews who were ticked off. Paul preached for 3 months in the synagogue until there was a split. Those who believed became the church in Ephesus, and those who didn't split off. And as was commonly the case, the unbelieving Jews complained to the authorities about Paul. Everybody rushes to this huge amphitheater, which is still there today, and they're shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" And finally, his friends convince Paul to get out of there as fast as he can. Not long after that, he took the collection to Jerusalem. And when he was coming with all this money, with his friends aboard ship, they did not go up to Ephesus. Why? Because they knew they would get in trouble at Ephesus. So Paul skips Ephesus, and he meets with the Ephesian elders and others in Miletus. Miletus. That's where Luke probably lived, because the "we" passages in Acts start there. Luke's on the ship, and then we set sail. He gets over to Jerusalem with the collection, the koinonia, the diakonia, the charis, the grace. He uses all the greatest words in the New Testament for the church's collective, intentional, planned, 10-year work of mercy in these days. Gets to Jerusalem, and who rats on him? Not that he was doing anything wrong. He had a Gentile guy along from Ephesus, and the Ephesian Jews saw him in the vicinity of the temple and assumed that Paul had taken him in where the Gentiles were not to go. Paul was arrested, and he writes this wonderful letter to the Ephesians after he's in Caesarea Philippi. That day and age was much like our own. Conflict, tension, little things could set people off. Since the 2nd century BC, when the Greek Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple with the most horrible scenes and violated the Jews, it gave rise to the Pharisee movement. Everybody was on edge. And anti-Hellenists did not want Roman and Greek influence, and they opposed any of it. And they saw in Paul a guy who was against circumcision, they thought, and against the law of Moses, and now desecrating the temple. None of it was true, of course. So Paul's writing from prison at a time when it's very difficult in the world. In fact, in Caesarea, the Jews had been asserting that since Herod founded the town where the prison was, that this was a Jewish city, and there was already tension. Imagine that. Tension in the Gaza already. Intensely so. And Paul writes to a church that is affected by its world. Deeply affected by its world. He says, Therefore, remember that one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility, and became and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we have access in one spirit to the Father. There is in the church no racial divide. There's no socioeconomic divide. There's nothing that excludes. Not a thing. There's no racial discrimination. There's no rejection of Jews. There's no rejection of Gentiles. There's no rejection of anybody. Christ is for all. And it's hard for us in this world to speak that message in the middle of complete, utter hatred, chaos, and division. We will make decisions about the left-hand kingdom from time to time. They struggle and they chafe against our religious beliefs, maybe, or vice versa, when we have to make those decisions, when all decisions are bad. But fundamentally, we know finally, we are the church. We are Christ's people. We are Christ's people with Christ's people in the Middle East. We are the church with people in Romania, in Novosibirsk, in Finland, Canada and Alaska, South America, all over the world. Those are our people. So you are no longer strangers and aliens. Xenophilia, we're to be lovers of strangers. We are not strangers, that's why. We are God's people. You are not aliens, you are sympolitai. This is the great part of the world where democracy had its birth, in those great Greek cities of the ancient world. He says, you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household. He uses members of the household, four words for one Greek word, oikeoi, homies. You are God's homies, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Our clear charter is the blessed scripture, so wonderfully inerrant for us and so clear for us on all the fundamental teachings of the faith, particularly the blessed sacrifice of Christ on the cross for all of our sins and the sins of all. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus, the cornerstone. He's the point of it all. It all holds together in him. Take him away, and it falls and crumbles to nothing, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And no matter what hell or problems or difficulty that is going on in the world, the Spirit continues his work until the last day to build his temple. God grant it. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.